AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to the Matt McNeil Show. I am not Matt McNeil. I'm Todd Mickelson sitting in. Matt will be back on Monday. He is having a long weekend touring some colleges with his daughter. Do we know where, Brett, or are we, again, is that top secret?
Oh, we know where he is. He's in Chicago, and I know that because he was actually on WCPT Live on Wednesday night, which was a little weird that he wasn't at AM 950, but he was on WCPT Live
at
the studios.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool. Well, we have a special guest here, actually two guests. I was only expecting one, but we got our old friend Caitlin Cahill came along with Tracy Brazil. Is that how, that's how I've got it right, right?
Yep, that's good.
Okay. I had to practice that. So Tracy is running for the Minnesota State House in District 45A, which is the district that I live in. And she's going to be a great candidate. I already know it. I hung out with her on caucus night. And we walked around together introducing her to all the different caucus rooms, which is a kind of a nerve-wracking thing if you're a brand new candidate, but it didn't seem nerve-wracking to you.
No, it was kind of fun. I liked meeting everybody. It was my challenge was getting out of the rooms fast enough. As I remember,
right.
You kept telling me, you're talking too much. You're talking too much. 2 minutes, three
I
minutes.
I didn't say you're talking too much. I just said we have to get to the other rooms.
Talk faster.
Yeah. But yeah, you were getting better and better. This is what happens. I was the candidate. Caitlin was the candidate. By the way, Caitlin ran for actually the same seat in a way in 2020, but then the borders changed and Caitlin got put into a different whole place. And we were very sad because we're all friends with Caitlin and now she's in a different district. But Caitlin is helping out Tracy. What are you doing for Tracy?
Well, you know, I just see this district as a key to holding the House and keeping the Senate again in 2 years. And so I'm just helping all the candidates in purple districts, doing communications and strategy.
Right. And artwork.
Yes, artwork.
Yes. Caitlin has one of her new Minnesota flag sweatshirts on right now, too, that she designed. So, but Tracy, we're supposed to be talking about you. one thing that I noticed at caucus night, and the reason that each room was taking a long time is because of the abundance of your background that I am just really impressed with. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So my background, I think I'll go backwards. Instead of going chronological, I'm going to go in reverse. Mm-hmm. So currently I'm serving on the City Council for Minnetonka Beach. I'm in my second term on City Council. And it's been a fascinating, rewarding experience. I love working with the community in a nonpartisan way. We've been fortunate enough to put in place a couple of new playgrounds. We're working on a lot of infrastructure. We have a new water plant coming in. And I ended up in Minnetonka Beach City Council. I was inspired to get involved there back in about 2018, 2019. When a lot of things were changing in the country, was inspired to get involved and make a difference where I could. Even in our local community, change was difficult and we were seeing some polarization. So I was working to try to alleviate that and bring the community together. At the start of my career, in college, I'm kind of jumping backwards here.
Well, let me jump in for a moment because this is something that I see as super beneficial in a district like ours that has a lot of Republicans in it and has been traditionally a red district. Back when I ran, I had to door knock before I realized that people are not super crazy partisan here. Even the Republicans are pretty reasonable. When they found out I was a small business owner, they're like, oh, I'm going to vote for you. And they didn't even care. They didn't even ask me what party I was. And the fact that you have worked with people on both sides, even though city council, you're not labeled as a Democrat or a Republican, it's obvious who the people are usually in the city council. And you have experience working with Republicans as well as Democrats in that capacity. And I think that's really a beneficial thing to have as a credential running for the state house.
Yeah, it has. It's been great. I would say that in many circumstances, we've turned over the city council a couple of times while I've been on it. And for many of the people on council, the way we work together, I couldn't tell you for sure who was Republican and who was Democrat. I have suspicions, but I have no idea for sure.
Right.
Many of us kind of on one particular issue, somebody might think one thing, and on a different issue, they'll think something else. You know, we're a small community, and so even people who are, you know, don't ever want taxes to go up. There are circumstances that we're in right now where in order to fund a new water plant and have safe water, the taxes for the community have to go up.
Yeah.
And so it's a circumstance that people, regardless of where they are on that spectrum, have are understanding that sometimes it's necessary.
Yes. I feel like Republicans who go on city council can learn how the world works a little bit. But go on with you said right out of college.
So kind of jumping back to the beginning of my my life as an adult, I majored in psychology. I had a bachelor of science in psychology and econ. Went on to work in finance from there. I was in New York City for that and learned a ton about finance, decided that I liked finance. I loved working with numbers. I loved understanding how businesses worked and making sure that they were profitable and able to continue to be sustained in that, from that perspective. I wanted to look at things more holistically. So I switched over to strategy consulting. I worked for the Boston Consulting Group, primarily focused on marketing and overall business strategy projects. Did that for a couple of years before going to business school, got my MBA, and then went back into the strategy consulting world. Leading client teams, working with people both at the firm as well as at the client organization. And that I loved that role because I was working with companies to optimize their business, was able to use data and analysis and understanding with facts along with a lot of conversations and a lot of working together with people at all levels of the organization to help come up with solutions that would move their businesses forward, sometimes on from an employee standpoint, sometimes from a product development standpoint, sometimes from an overall line of business perspective. So was very broad. Enjoyed that a lot. Was living in Chicago as my last stop before coming back to Minneapolis. My husband and I decided we wanted a family and that Minnesota would be the best place to do that. I had family here and had the opportunity to come back. I worked for the Sleep Number Company. At that time, it was Select Comfort, but now the Sleep Number Company. Mm-hmm. Worked in on the consumer side of business there. Around the time that my fourth child was about to be born, I decided it was unsustainable to continue to be working the amount that I was working. My husband was traveling a number of days per week. And so I say I retired from the paid workforce at that point. Mm-hmm. I started focusing more on volunteer, nonprofit. I was on the board of Milkweed, worked with them for a number of years. Those not familiar with Milkweed, it's a nonprofit publishing in Minneapolis. And worked in a number of arenas, a lot closely related to what my kids were doing at the time. I did a lot of volunteering up at the school, a lot of school-related activities, got very involved in their youth sports. They're all swimmers, so I'm on the board of Aquajets, which is the largest club swim organization in Minnesota. As my kids got older and I had a little bit more time, I then branched out from things close to them and began to focus more on underserved women and children. And I've gotten involved with Minneapolis Crisis Nursery and Jeremiah Program. And then all led to the city council.
Yeah. Give a couple sentences about the Jeremiah Program.
I love the Jeremiah Program. It is an organization. They've been around for 25 years, was started in Minneapolis. It's really kind of a wraparound service. Their mission is to raise people out of poverty two generations at a time. So it serves unwed mothers and their children while the women are going to college. So it's really wraparound everything they need while they're in school. So help with tuition, a place to live, childcare for their children, parenting guidance, wardrobing. help with resumes, help with interview techniques, you name it, while they're going to school. And then as these women graduate, they go on and they start their careers. Many have gone on to be teachers. Some are lawyers. And then we say raising people up two generations at a time because their children are then raised in a household where they're not in poverty.
Right.
And many of these kids from the first round of Jeremiah graduates are now going to college themselves.
Yeah, so breaking the pattern of poverty, basically.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah.
And these women are so impressive. They are some of the most impressive, hardworking young women you'll come across.
Yeah, yeah. And when they get a little bit of help, then everybody benefits from it. This is now all of our listeners know why it was so hard to get you to all the rooms in caucus. We should have just had you talk to the whole group at once. But no, seriously, it's difficult. I mean, I'm kind of somebody who likes, and I enjoyed doing it when I was running myself, and Caitlin's really good at this too, figuring out how to message and figuring out, you know, what are the best things to say. Like when I was doing it for myself, I just came up with, well, you know, my daughter's going to, if I was door knocking, my daughter's going to school here, and I'm a small business owner, and I grew up here, and, you know, so you need to bring it down to like that amount of time. But in your case, it's really hard to edit stuff out because all that stuff is really beneficial. And, you know, some of it might not even sound all that sexy and interesting to a lot of people, but that's not what we're here for. That's not what you're doing when you're running for the Minnesota State House, you know?
True.
Right. So just that's why I'm just so impressed with the credentials that you have for running for the seat. How did you get started? Now, I was recruiting candidates here for a while, but I hadn't even met you. The first night I met you, I had a conversation with you and was very impressed right away, but you were already thinking of running at that point. So what was the decider for you?
Well, I think I was recruited in a roundabout way, maybe not by you, but Kelly Morrison and her husband, John, have been good friends of mine for quite a long time. And they started talking to me about not only what Kelly's experience had been, but why they thought this was something that I should pursue, and why they thought my background, varied as it is, kind of all would be well served to culminate in serving the state in the House. So I had a lot of conversations with them, had a number of conversations with Caitlin, Kathy, others, others who've run before. And the more people I talked to, the more I really, really became convinced that this was something that I wanted to get involved with and a place where I thought that my background in understanding business and having been a mom raising four children,
right,
and being involved on the kind of social service side of things,
and schools
and city government, really would all be intertwined and allow me to use all of those skills together as we work to make Minnesota the best place it can be.
Yes, and also the fact, and I'm sure that Kelly and John recognized this in you, that you're not somebody who's going to stop moving anytime soon. You're always doing things because you're interested and you're motivated to do things for people. And you know, I did recruit a couple candidates in the past that weren't like that, and it turned out to be a huge problem, we found out halfway through their campaign. So the fact that you've been so involved, and also like one of the first questions I ask, and I'm only asking this because I want people who are listening to be motivated to support you. Another thing that can be a problem with candidates is the time they can spend being the candidate. You know, sometimes people have young children and they just might not have enough time. This is something that's really sad because I think regular people should be able to be in the state legislature. You know, people who have a full-time job who can't afford to not have a full-time job, it's difficult for them as well. And I think that's really sad. But in reality, as we've learned from our friend Kelly, it becomes a full-time job when you become a legislator. And so you are somebody who's in a place in your life where you have the time to do it.
Right. Yeah, I'm on city council, and that takes up some time, but my term on that ends coincidentally with the November election. So so I'll be rolling off of that. I have three children who are now in college, two graduating from college, and my youngest is a junior in high school. So sadly, he won't be in the house too much longer. So I do have more time, and I'm enjoying the process so far. I think the aspect of campaigning that I'm enjoying the most is talking to people, hearing what issues are important to them, hearing their takes on legislature that they know about. Sometimes they know it accurately, sometimes not, but always interesting to hear their perspectives and how they see it impacting them. And I really think that listening and hearing and incorporating the views of constituents from all walks is really important, and it's something that I'm really enjoying. I'm meeting people that I hadn't come across before, and just finding it to be really mind-opening and enjoyable to get to know them and get to know their perspectives.
Yeah,
but it does take a lot of time.
Yeah, right. It does. We need to take a break, but can you stick around and talk a little longer about that subject itself?
Sure.
Okay. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be back with more Tracy Brazeal when we come back. AM 950, the Progressive. Oh my God. Oh my God. What just happened to the music? I was all ready to talk and it sounded like the guy fell off his chair. Did the musician fall off his chair in there?
I think the music video showed that did happen.
Oh, okay. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And we're talking to a candidate for the Minnesota State House in my district, 45A. I can't remember anymore because it just changed. And it's also her district, of course, Tracy Brazeal, and Caitlin Cahill is with us here too. I had her on a couple times, and then she stayed for, didn't you stay for an entire day, like the whole 2 hours one time, didn't you?
Yeah, it's just too fun with you, Todd.
Right. how do you know it wasn't fun because of you, though? That's what I've been thinking.
I mean, I wasn't elected, so, you know, we like to talk.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, we're Caitlin and I are the ones who ran in the old days when it was impossible for a Democrat to get elected. But when I first ran, the Democratic numbers were, which means if nobody runs or runs a campaign, the Democrats could be expected to get 29% of the vote. And then I brought it up to 38%. I still cried on election night because I felt like my teeth got knocked out of my head. But then the DFL called me some kind of hero, and I was confused about that. And then they explained, well, you brought the numbers up by 9 points in a district where we can't even get people to run all the time. So then fast forward, Kelly Morrison is thinking of running in the B side, but still, I'm talking to her, and she actually had a moment where she's like, I don't know if I want to run because the numbers show that I can't win. And I said, no, don't look at the numbers, because I didn't. If anyone would have explained to me my chances, because I might not have ran either. But then Kelly did decide to run, and she won. First Democrat in our area to ever win. And then this last time, Lauren Bresnahan ran a really great campaign and brought the numbers, and you could say from 10 years earlier, from 29 up to almost 48%. And now we're talking to Tracy Brazeal, and you just heard in the last segment how great of a candidate she's going to be. So I think that she's going to be, if I have you on here after November, or no, after next January, I won't be calling you just a candidate anymore. I'll be calling you my representative. So I'm making her feel super uncomfortable. You can't see her right now, but she's looking like she wishes I would shut the hell up. One of the most biggest issues that people in our district, many districts, but in our district, I would say at any time, back in the old days and now, if you had people list what their most important issues were in our district, I think it would be education. Yeah, do you agree?
I think we're still hearing that. People that I've talked to in our district really value education. We have good schools, and they're a priority. And every parent that I've spoken to, every person that I've spoken to in the district talks about how important education is and how much they value our schools, and that it really is the future. Having our kids be well-educated is what one of the differentiating factors in Minnesota versus other states, and our district in particular has very strong schools.
Yes, I know that you're just getting started. You haven't really door knocked yet, but you have talked to some people. I had the experience of talking even to people who were homeschooling their own children, but told me that they were thinking of supporting me. One did actually support me. She was extremely conservative and called me one day, and we talked for like 20 minutes. She homeschooled her kids, and she said she's thinking of supporting me, even though she's never voted for a Democrat, because of my stance on schools. And she said, even though I homeschool my kids, I know how important it is to have good schools. Have you had any experiences like that?
Yes. I mean, there's in Minnetonka Beach, there's a number of families who send their kids to Orno, but also kids who are sending them out of district or are sending them to private schools. And regardless of where their kids are going, they want the neighborhood schools to be very strong. They want the people around them to be well-educated.
Right.
They want great schools for the future. They want great schools because that is part of what helps their property values.
That's true.
And helps the region.
Yes, that's true. What are other... Have you heard from people in the district so far what they're concerned about issue-wise?
You know, I've had a couple of people email me about gun safety. They're concerned about guns getting into the wrong hands, or whether their kids are safe in school and what measures can be taken to make sure that that those people who have guns are the people who are safe with them and keep them safe. So that is something that really has been voluntarily emailed to me by a few different people without any prompting whatsoever. I've had a number of women talk to me as well, that while women currently have the choice in Minnesota, this is something that is not the case in other states, and there is worry that will it remain so in Minnesota. And that's something that's near and dear to my heart. I think that all women have a right to have a say and have a choice in their healthcare choices, and they should be able to make those with their physicians. And this is something that I think is integral, that we make sure that women have choice and all people have choice as they are making these decisions for themselves. So that's an issue that's come up. A lot of the communities that are in our district are very small and have a lot of infrastructure needs. I alluded to this before, but that is another issue that's come up with people who, not all households are aware of this as much, but people who are on city councils are aware of how expensive having safe water, safe roads is to the communities, and getting funding from the state, getting help with this is really important because these communities are small, and when you take it down to a per household basis, it gets very expensive. These really are some of the basic necessities that people count on to have clean and safe water.
And we're in a place where most of the infrastructure is at least 50 years old, if not 60 or 70 or more years old, as far as pipes that water run through underground. And this is, of course, the ongoing argument about why we do actually need government sometimes, because if you just live in a house, you can't pay for running water by yourself. You can't have pipes laid out to your house. You need help with that. And we have a lot of that, actually, in this district. I know Mound is still having trouble with its pipes and water systems, and we had tons of trouble with it over the years with the sewage system in Mound, and the state needs to, you know, we need a strong legislator at the state level to help us out here. And being on the city council, you know that more than people who are not on the city council. One of the things I found interesting is all of those kind of things that I learned about when I ran, that most people don't think about those things. And I thought, well, wow, I'm learning a lot about just regular infrastructure and people's needs and how if we're going to be a community, we need to agree on certain things. Otherwise, we're going to have dirty drinking water or whatever. You've already learned those things.
Those are some of the things I didn't expect to learn when I went on to city council. Those aren't the fun or sexy parts of it,
right.
but they're some of the, you know, more integral, necessary aspects, as
yes.
you said, that, you know, we need. And in our communities, many of our communities have creeks, woods, green space, lakes, and making sure that those are protected is really important. And some of the infrastructure that we have needs to continue to be improved in a way that makes it easier for our waterways and remain clean.
Yeah, and better maintained. When you keep the maintenance going, you don't all of a sudden have a huge, overwhelmingly expensive problem. That's with everything. I've learned that in my small business. You know, I mean, I remember a guy, we have a gravel driveway, and I said, okay, so we have ruts here. How much would it cost? And he said, oh, it's going to cost, like, back then it was like $750. And I'm like, okay. And he said, but if you wait till next year, it's probably going to cost $1,000, you know?
So, right.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. So, and like I said, you've already learned these things. I learned it while I was running. But I'm kind of surprised at how much attention you've been getting already, even though you're just getting up and running. You don't have, posters or lawn signs, and you haven't been door knocking yet, but you still have a lot of people contacting you. And I think that's great because people are more engaged now than they were back in our day. And I think the more people get engaged and learn about candidates like you, the better things will go. I'm going to say this right in front of you, but I'm not talking to you. So I'm saying this for Tracy. If you're listening to this right now, I think that you've heard how great of a candidate Tracy's going to be and how great of a legislator she would be if she wins, or I should say, when she wins. And the way she can do that is, of course, we all know, to get her message out. Her campaign is going to need some cash money dollars. If you have anything to contribute, or if you know other people who contribute to great candidates, where can they find you to do that, Tracy?
Well, there's a number of ways. Caitlin has been instrumental in helping me make sure that I've got all of the correct avenues. The first place you can go is my website. It is tracy4mnhouse.com. Tracy is EY, so you have to add an E in there. TracyForMnHouse.com. You can follow me on social media. I have Facebook and Instagram. Both of those are similar to the website, Tracy for MN House. If you feel so inclined to mail a check, you can write a check to Tracy for MN House, and that goes to P.O. Box 34, Minnetonka Beach, Minnesota 55361.
All right. And I have the phone number of every single one of our listeners, so I'll make sure and text that. I'm totally losing. I had a really good question, and now I totally lost it. But I should let you go. We're overdue for a break, and I know I've kept you here longer than you agreed to be here. And I know you're busy, and so are you, Caitlin, right? So, Caitlin, do you have anything final to say?
It's going to be a really important election. We're lucky in our district that we have really high turnout. So it's going to be really important that the people who are turning out know about the candidates. So we'd appreciate everyone's help getting the message out.
Exactly. What about you, Tracy? What's your final words?
I appreciate you listening today. Appreciate you getting to know me a little bit. And I look forward to getting to know all of you and hope that I earn your support at the voting box if you're in my district, and your support to help get the word out if you are or are not in my district.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much for showing up, Tracy, and agreeing to be on the radio. I know it can be a daunting, scary thing. You've never done anything like this before, right?
I have not. It was really fun, though. Thanks, yeah. Todd. I appreciate it.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
So let's take an overdue break. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back.